You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm one of the co-hosts of this wonderful podcast. And on today's show, I'll be bringing you a weekend preview of the Pacers' two matchups. First, they take on the 4-5 and right now 8th-seeded Detroit Pistons, who have beaten the Pacers twice this year already. They look to finally get back in that season series and not lose it to the Detroit Pistons, which could come back to haunt them later. Then the Pacers travel out to the Sunshine State, take on the Orlando Magic, who are 2-6 and right now the second-worst team in the East, although some of their numbers are a little deceiving for this early in the year. But first, today's podcast is brought to you by MyBookie.ag. It's that time of year again. Leaves on the ground, it's cold, gotta get the winter coat, the boots, but also means that pro football, pro basketball, and college football are all in action, which means if you want to bet, the place to go is MyBookie.ag. Maybe you want to bet the Pacers game on Friday night or on Sunday. Maybe you want to bet the Colts game on Sunday. Maybe you want to bet an IU game. I don't know who they play, but I'm sure there's plenty of games coming up. Well, the place to make those bets is mybookie.ag. And if you use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA, you will get your first deposit matched by mybookie.ag. That's the promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and the place to bet is mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. The Detroit Pistons have beat the Pacers twice, and honestly, both times the Pacers could have won those games. So the first one, the Pacers led, I believe, most of the third quarter, but the bench blew it late, and they had a terrible fourth quarter. They got outscored by 12 points to essentially wipe away, at one point, I think, was a 10-point lead, and lose by 9 to the Pistons. You know, second time around, once again, the bench was terrible. They tried to ride Malcolm, but the starting five kind of figured it out and played well late, but a couple of mistakes by T.J. Warren, a missed shot by Malcolm Brogdon, and another Luke Kennard kind of drop-in miracle three helped keep the Pistons at arm length from the Pacers, and they lost that game 96-94. A player obviously to watch on Detroit for this game, and a guy who's killed the Pacers so far this year, is Andre Drummond. In the first matchup, he had 32 points and 23 rebounds. I'm going to repeat that again, 32 points and 23 rebounds. In the second matchup, he had 18 points and 18 rebounds. On the year, Drummond is averaging 22 points per game on 18.6 rebounds. 18.6 rebounds per game. He's shooting 58 from the field and 67% from the line. Both those are career highs for the based on volume. It's a career high free throw no matter how many he's taking, but he's taking 5.4 a game, which is his second most ever in terms of free throws per game. And 58% on 16 shots is a career high by volume, percentage by volume. So, they probably aren't going to stop Drummond. So, the Pacers will be without Goga, who has a concussion. Miles Turner is questionable to play, but we'll see how that goes. There's a good chance he probably doesn't, considering that he was week to week when he hurt his ankle. I believe it's now going back to last Wednesday, right, against Brooklyn, where he's hurt. So, I guess we're at that point where he could return. We'll see. I don't have any inside knowledge right now, so we'll find out. You'll find out more actually later today. Listen to this podcast on Friday. If not, we will be seeing Miles Turner kind of backed up by probably TJ Leaf and maybe Jakarr Sampson. There really is no other center for the Pacers to turn to. So that'll be interesting. Drummond playing around 36 minutes per game. So is Sabonis. Now, in the first matchup, Drummond played 40 minutes. So he plays that many, plus maybe you don't want to play Sabonis 36 games because maybe you're trying to kind of let him heal a little bit more from his calf contusion, which really just means calf bruise, but that's still kind of painful. Other Pacers that might not play, Jeremy Lamb has been ruled out for Friday's game. He will not play. So that's two of the Pacers' top nine are not going to play, with obviously Turner as a questionable. When you go to the Pistons on the other side, Blake Griffin is listed as not playing. Obviously, will not play Friday night. I know he was at the first week of November. He will not play. Rose will not play. Frazier, the team's kind of backup point guard, is listed as doubtful, so he probably won't play. And obviously Reggie Jackson, who I believe broke some bone in his hand. I'm going to look it up real fast to remember. Reggie Jackson is out for an extended period of time with a back injury, lower back stretch fracture. Yuck. So they're without their top two guards. So that means Luke Kennard, a guy who killed the Pacers in the first matchup and hit a very clutch three in the second one, will get an opportunity to probably play a little bit of point guard. Looking at their last game, so Detroit played on Wednesday against the Knicks and beat them by 20 points. It looked like they played, so a starting lineup of Andre Drummond, Bruce Brown, Tony Snell, Luke Kennard, and Markieff Morris, which meant Kennard really is kind of the guard there. I believe Tony Snell plays a little bit of shooting guard, small forward, so, you know, Bruce Brown a little bit of guard too. Kennard played big minutes, almost 30, a little over 32 minutes. Off the bench, they sort of went like with Langston Galloway, Christian Wood, I can't pronounce the other guy's name, and Thon Maker. I don't want to butcher his name. So the Pistons probably have one of the best two or three players in the court when they play the Pacers. It depends where he ranks the bonus in Drummond. I think Brogdon's probably the best player on the court. Maybe. I guess you'd probably say Brogdon 1A and Drummond 1B. And then the Pacers probably have the next like 2 through 6 depending on... Obviously, Lamb's not playing, but 2 through 6. So in some order, it's probably Sabonis, Warren, Brogdon. You know, I'm hesitant. I'm not sure. I think Luke Kennard probably comes in there at 5 before you get to like... I mean, I don't even know if you could rank like an Aaron Holiday above those guys or TJ McConnell or Justin Holiday. So the Pacers team, I'd say, has three of the top five players, and then kind of the next six are sort of up in the air. The Pacers will win this game, or should win this game, on their guard play. Brogdon should have a nice game, taking advantage of really the no guard that Detroit has left. And the bench should be okay. You know, it was pretty bad last time. Kennard was a huge leader on the bench for the Pistons in the two losses they have. He'll be starting now, so that should be helpful. Drummond might play 38, which might basically mean he's playing bench minutes as well. But at the end of the day, the Pacers bench should be able to hold its own against this kind of lagging Detroit team. And the way Aaron Holiday played last game, if he keeps that going, that should be enough to let the Pacers pass the Pistons. We'll see. You know, I think the Pacers should win this game. You just don't usually lose to a team three times in a year. Or at least three times in a row, unless you're like a terrible team, right? So like the Pacers will maybe sweep a team three or four times if it's like them in like, I guess Cleveland should have went 3-1, right? And there's one of the Pacers went 3-0, you know, against LeBron Cleveland team to start. But realistically, usually you don't lose three straight games to a team you see in your division, and you're not a terrible team. So that's a sign of that. It'll give Indiana a first time to try to go above 500. They are 4-4 right now, if I believe, which will give them an opportunity to, you know, at one, they got pretty close to going above 500 last time, right? They were 3-3 when they went up against Charlotte and lost. So getting a crack at that to cross 500 for the first time this season. You know, the Pacers, you know, in terms of like where they should win, I think it's Brogdon pretty much. It should be the matchup they should win, and they should win that one. They should be able to win the TJ Warren matchup. They should be able to probably win some combination of the Dub McDermott, Justin Holiday, Aaron Holiday matchups. We'll see about that. You know, I think this Pacers team, like I've said before, this is the game they should beat the teams that are not good, or they should be able to kind of, they'll lose some games they should win, I think, but they should beat most of the teams that are kind of iffy because they are deep enough and good enough players to win, well coached enough to win those games. Now, Detroit is better coaching than they've been in a while. Certainly, Dwayne Casey is a much better coach, I think, than Stan Van Gundy, at least the Stan Van Gundy that was there the past two or three seasons. I mean, you could see it where Detroit is definitely just kind of riding into things that they're good at, right? So, you know, they're first in assists in the NBA. They're second in total rebounds. They're taking the second most free throws and second most twos. I believe I should throw the Pacers in that two-point category, if I remember right. Yeah, the Pacers are the first in two-point attempts. But so Detroit is doing what a well-coached Detroit team would do. But I think the Pacers team should be able to win. I think Drummond will probably have a pretty good game. But even Drummond scores 35 and 20, the Pacers probably should still win this game. Other things I'm looking for, I want to see. So I guess assuming Turner doesn't play, Go doesn't play, we'll see some more TJ Leaf. Is that shocking? Is that going to be bad? I don't know. We'll find out. This is an opportunity. The bench, like the bench for Detroit is just not that great. There just aren't a ton of like world beaters off the bench. You know, Thon Maker is going to kind of be somewhat center power forward spot for them. I mean, that's a guy who Leaf could have an advantage over. I don't think Thon Maker is a very good NBA player. It's just a personal opinion of mine. But so that's what I'm looking for in the Pacers game. I do think they should win the game, but this team is very up and down right now because they just have a lot of injuries. Now, if Turner plays, they're going to win, I think. But I am skeptical that Turner will play, so we will find out, though. By the time we see this podcast, we might already know what Turner's playing or not, so check out the Locked On Pacers Twitter feed or, you know, some other good Pacers reporters like Jay Michael and Scott Agnes. All right, so take a quick break, and on the other side of the break, we will preview the Orlando Magic game. So the Pacers take on the Magic for the first time this season. The Magic have been not great, at least offensively. So they are the 30th ranked offense according to offensive rating. They're scoring the 30th most points per game at 95.1. You know, this team is making up for it with an awesome defense. They allow the second least amount of points per game at 99.8, and they have a 102.5 defensive rating, which is 8th best in the league. And it looks like Terrence Ross will not play. Let's see. I think he's listed as... So does it doubtful for Friday. He'd not play Wednesday. So wait, yes, we won't know for sure that he's not playing Sunday, but that could be big. So if Terrence Ross has been the Pacers killer last year, he I think had a couple 20 or 30 point games against the Pacers. I'm gonna pull up his box score from 2017-18, but he was the you know, each year Tony and I dub a player the Pacer killer, right? Anyway, so 2 years ago it was 100% Tobias Harris when he played for Detroit, and then he got traded, I believe, that mid year. To the Clippers, who also destroyed them, the Clippers. So he went 4-0 with Detroit that year, and then he played the Pacers twice as a Clipper, and he was just awesome. So, anyways, last year Tobias Harris. So in the four games, so the first time they lost the Pacers, he only had 11 points. But in their win in late January, he had 30 points. In their win in early March, he had 23 points. And then their win in late March, he had 16. For a bench guy, is kind of the new Tobias Harris. Was that kind of 2018 version of Tobias Harris, where he was just killing the Pacers as kind of this, like, stretch four-ish, three. You know, I guess he's more playing shooting guard and small forward, but, like, just the guy who kind of sits in the corner and the Pacers ignore it. I think, I'm not sure if Thad was guarding him or who was guarding him off the bench, but it the kind of guy who just kind of sits in the corner and can just drain, you know, one, you know, off the dribble threes and pop and shoot kind of player. But to be honest, the Magic team has just not been very good this year. That's why they're 2-6 and one of the worst teams in the East right now. Now, I believe they'll turn it around. Now, the thing about the Magic is they're just kind of weird, where they play Jonathan Isaac at the 3 and Aaron Gordon at the 4 and Vucevic at the 5, and all three of those guys might be centers. And then they bet kind of big on some of the younger guards. So they got, you know, Markelle Fultz on their roster, who knows if he's any good. Then they also paid for some veteran talent in DJ Augustine. And they, what it feels like to me, the Magic have a lot of, like, salary guys who could be tradable. And that's how they talk themselves into kind of signing them, right? So they think, oh, well, we're going to sign this guy to a reasonable contract, and then we can move it on later. But then they just kind of keep the player to be this very mediocre team. I think they're hoping they can build on it. Like, I think if the Magic could have a Pacers-type run where they just make the playoffs as a 6-8 seed every year for 5 years, they would take that because they've been so bad for so long. They have, like, one playoff appearance in the past since Dwight left. But, like, think about it, right? So they've got, like, Fournier, who makes $17 million and has a $17 million player option next year, which I'm pretty sure he'll pick up. Maybe not, you know. But, that was kind of when he signed it. It was like, well, you know, you can't let the asset leave, blah, blah, blah. But, like, you know, it feels like Detroit better off trading Fournier, right? It just feels like they could have been better doing that. They overpaid Terrence Ross probably, but again, it's like, well, he's in his prime. He can be a scorer off the bench. It's a trade of a contract. Again, they're not going to trade him. Aaron Gordon, same thing. The center declining contract, the guy who kind of makes sense in a lot of trades. It would make sense for D'Angelo Russell for sure. Again, who knows who gets traded, but it just seems like they took a lot of centers. Then they hope to kind of hit on the Markelle Fultz kind of thing, maybe to get lucky. They signed a lot of veteran guard like Augustine to sort of be on the team for, I don't know. I mean, it's a one-year deal, so it's fine. And then they have this weird combination of players who are just kind of in Terrence Ross and Evan Fournier, who are certainly, I would say, positive NBA players, but they're nothing to, like, write home about. They're not going to really, you know, bring you back super plus value, and they're not super plus value players. I mean, Fournier right now is averaging 14 points on 44 and 31 shooting. I mean, that's not terrible. That's kind of what Brogdon's doing. Except Brian's taking 15 shots instead of 11. But, you know, this Magic team, it felt like they took the results from last year and thought, oh, we're going to be a playoff team for the next 3 years. But really, it kind of was like a lucky thing, and they could retool this roster to be a playoff team. but it would involve gutting it. And they could really build around Vucevic and really get some other guys in here. But, like, it feels like this team could use, like, a kind of a makeover and a decluttering at the center spot because Isaac and Mobamba, like, I mean, Mobamba's fine to have, but, again, it feels like they could just kind of let Vooch be the centerpiece of the team and get some players that fit around his skill sets, and they might be good to make the playoffs if they did that. It wouldn't be any awesome team, but they wouldn't be like a top five seed probably ever, but that would be good enough if they could just if they just built around Vucevic, and none of the players they have kind of fit perfectly around Vooch. So, I don't know. That's kind of my opinion on the wasting away of Vooch's what's about to be his prime at 29 years old, kind of his prime of his career. Anyways, the Pacers... Again, so all the injuries I talked about last segment still apply, so we don't know if Lamb's going to play. I assume concussion means Goga probably won't, just concussions are usually more than a one-game injury. Lamb has had the hip thing, and now it's, I think it's a right knee thing for him now. It's to an ankle thing. Whatever it is, it's that side of his body has been kind of in pain for Lamb, so I'm guessing he's probably not going to play either. Turner might play. That's something that could happen. But the Pacers team should still win without those guys. So I'm going to read you some stats from Sabonis, actually. Bones has been a pretty good player against the Magic in his career. I believe we look it up. I'm going to pull it up real fast to make sure I get it right. But so he didn't play in one of the games against Magic last year, and then he was really bad the second one, 1-for-9. And actually, he didn't play in two of them, but he had a very solid 10 points. I'm honestly blanking on the year he was great. If we go back to 17-18, where he actually managed to play against Magic, he had a game of 19 against them, a game of 17. So... he is the guy to watch simply because he'll be guarding Vooch. He'll probably get beat by Vooch again. Vooch is a better center than him, but he'll have the ability to sort of stem that tide, and maybe he can match him point for point. But the Pacers, again, where they're going to win is at the guard. I think the Pacers would be wise to go small, especially if there's no Turner, to play Warren at the four, maybe some McDermott, maybe a lineup I'm thinking right off the top of my head of like Aaron Holiday, Malcolm Brogdon, Doug McDermott, TJ Warren, Sabonis could be pretty solid. I think if the idea is to force the Magic into being kind of force them basically to have too many bigs to make plays on the court and foul you constantly, kind of like what he's been doing to the Pacers, but reverse. I don't know if Pacers will do that or not, but we'll see. But it does feel like that's where the advantage. I mean, Brogdon should have a field day. I wonder who's going to guard, I guess. So... let's say Terrence Ross doesn't play in the hypothetical here. I guess he's going to probably guard Jonathan Isaacs, maybe Markel, maybe DJ. Depending on who starts. Sorry for the yawn, man. It's getting late on this podcast. Yeah, I don't know who he's going to guard. That'll be interesting, actually, to find out. So, right. So, like, the starting five, I guess he guards Fournier. That makes sense. That probably the guy's going to guard Fournier. But I don't know if you... if Aaron Gordon's having a game, do you think I'm putting him on him? I feel like the size would quite work for Brogdon. It might get a little beat up and not worth it. But this is a game the Pacers should win. They should go to be 6-4 by the end of the week. They should be 7-4 after they beat Oklahoma City on Tuesday. So I think they should win this game. I don't know what you guys think. You know, I'm always concerned this team will just blow it. It is the Charlotte, but... if Turner does return, it keeps this team on a momentum to get healthy. They just need to get healthy at the end of the day. The Pacers have a lot of injuries. It feels like way more than usual. I mean, when we talk about Turner, Lamb, Sumner, Goga now. I mean, they need to get healthy, and I don't know how you do that. And hopefully they can kind of remain 500 through all these injuries. That's it for this Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, you can follow us at Locked On Pacers. You can follow me at FreedomAdam5. We're back again on Monday with a weekly show and a whole more week of podcasts. That's today's Locked On Pacers podcast. We will see you guys Monday.